We are holding on Kuf Lamed Dalet Omud Bey. It's about the middle of the Omud. We said yesterday, the Mishnah had told us that if a person says, this is my son, we believe him. And we talked about that as far as that's relevant to the din of saying that his wife will be potter from Yibum, even if we didn't know he had children. But now that he says that he has, and even though we had a chazaka beforehand that he had brothers, unlike a Mishnah in Kedushin that also talked about this, where they didn't say anything about him having a chazaka where he has brothers, nevertheless, we still believe. So we started saying that Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Shmuel, the reason why that works is because he has a migri, because he could say, Gerashti at Lishti, he could say, I divorced my wife, and then she'd also be father from Yibum. And therefore, instead, we can believe him to say, I didn't divorce her, but we have a son or a child, whatever, a descendant, and therefore she's potter from Yibum.
Except that you could check if he divorced his wife.
We're going to get to that in a second. Right now, we're talking about, on the face of it, if he said, Gerashti at Lishti, it could mean I divorced her 50 years ago. But not necessarily that she's still going to have proof. But wait, yes, that's a good point. We'll get back to that in a minute. But wait. Anyway, Rabbi Yosef had said the problem with that is that then you're making the din and the Mishnah depend on something that's not even found anywhere in Mishnayos or Braisos or whatever. So therefore, he revised it to say that because the husband has the ability right now to divorce her, therefore he has a migri. He could divorce her right on the spot now and then pat her from Yibum. Therefore, instead of doing that, he says, Zebni, then instead we would believe him. Now, that's where we're up to, about the middle of the Omud. The line begins with Yodah the Gash.
Of course, it would be a situation where he's starting up a war or something like that.
Yeah, but it doesn't even have to be. I mean, remember, before Cherem Diabena Gershom, a husband can divorce his wife unilaterally anyway. After Cherem Diabena Gershom, yeah, he may not have that migrant divorce.
It's a situation would entail where he would have to worry about...
Where he'd have to worry about you, potentially, yeah. We talked about it at the very end yesterday. We talked about you could have a situation where, for example, the Yavam or one of the Yavavim or whatever is a horrible guy and she doesn't want to have to marry him and she doesn't want to have to deal with
him. So then
with
in any which situation, yeah. just in case.
What's the problem?
That you can divorce before the sakana, you cannot divorce now your wife whatever you want.
So after Cherem Diabena Gershom, you can't divorce her whenever you want. You need her consent.
So what made it change?
Why Rabbeinu Gershom changed it is a whole issue. That's not really something we need to get into right now. I mean,
briefly.
I mean, the idea was, you know, the Torah gives a husband the ability to say that he's going to only divorce his wife for the proper reasons. Rabbeinu Gershom saw that wasn't the case, and therefore he found the need to make the takana. Okay. They say, by the way, also that connected with that is the thing why Rabbeinu Gershom made the takana that you can't have two wives, because otherwise what's going to happen? A husband can't divorce his wife. He'll just go marry another wife. Therefore, you need the second takana in order to buttress the first one. Okay. So that's where we're up to. Amrinan Yosef. Hashtag Amrit Amrinan. Amrinan Hoyil. Well then, Rabbi Yosef says, if we are saying this Hoyil of Yodil Gasha, once we say that we believe him to say Zebni because Hoyol V'yod V'garsha, then therefore on that basis, we can, after all, reach the original statement that we said before. Baal Sha'omer Gerashti Es Ishti Neman. Then by the same logic, if a husband says, I divorced my wife, we can also believe him. Same logic, Hoyol V'yod V'garsha, because he has the ability to be V'garsha right now. However, when Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he reported that Rabbi Yochanan said, no, Baal Shama Girashti Es Ishti Einan Heman. No, if a husband says, I divorced my wife, we don't believe him as far as making her potter from Yibum.
So
that's the point, in other words. So therefore, that takes away. So, Menapeach Rav Sheshes Biyade, so Rav Sheshes blew on his hand, like, or waved his hand, or whatever, like, there it goes. Like, there it goes. he says, Ozalai Hoyol Rabbi Yosef. Okay, in that case, then Rabbi Yosef's Hoyol has gone away. Rabbi Yosef thought to say that because we are the Garsha, we can believe him that he did divorce her at some time in the past, but we see from that not. And as a matter of fact, now, to go back to your point, Taka, why not? One idea is because he's saying Gerashti Es Ishti. Well, then, never mind the get itself. Maybe she doesn't keep the get for so long once she's had her silver paid off or whatever. No, not so much Adim, even, but the Adim may not be available, but at least when a person divorces his wife, there's usually a curl. Here, there's not even a curl. Therefore, that weakens. Now, by the way, that Ashbam says doesn't mean that Rabbi Yochanan is necessarily disagreeing with Shmuel Hoyol. Shmuel, who said that he can say Zebni because Hoyol of Yodel Garsha, that still stands. but Rabbi Yosef's Toil that was saying that because the Yod Lagarsha, therefore we can also believe him to say that at some time in the past, Gerashi Avishti, that not.
What's that? What's the difference?
The difference is, in one case, he's not saying whether I divorced her or not. In this case, in one case, he's saying she's not Chayev and Yibum because we have children. And in the other case, and therefore, we can believe him, that's Shmuel's statement, and therefore, we can believe that on the basis of Migri Oyo of Yod Lagarsha, because he has the ability to be Megarish her anytime he wants. On the other hand,
so there are children, meaning several of them.
No, any number, as long as they have even one descendant, as long as they have even one descendant, then she's part of Mirbu or Chalitza. So therefore, we can believe him on that. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef's Toil that because he's able to be divorced her, therefore he can also say that sometime in the past I divorced her. That not. So the question is, yes. So the question is, Aini, is that so? Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef said that Rabbi Yochanan says if a husband said, I divorced his wife, you don't believe him. Ha'amar Rav Chiyah Ba'avin Amar Rav Yochanan, Baal Shama Gerashti Es Ishti Neman. We have Rav Chiyah Ba'avin also saying, also in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that if a husband says, I divorced my wife, we do believe him. So what is it? Do we believe him? No, so we have two spirit between two statements of Rabbi Yochanan, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the answer is, Lo'kasha Kama Mafreya Kama Haba. There's no contradiction because one is talking about in the past, one is talking about retroactively, and the other one is talking about in the future. Namely, so the Rashbam understands it like this. If the husband is standing, for example, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and saying, I divorced my wife last month, we can't say that we accept that to the extent that if later on Adim came and say that in the middle of Nissan, she was Mizana to say that she shouldn't be that she shouldn't be Chayiv Mitzvah. There's no migri. He can't now retroactively divorce her a month ago. Therefore, there's no migri, and therefore we can't believe him to say gerashti in the past. Kan lahaba is if he just said at some point I divorced my wife, which doesn't have to be a month ago. It could have been yesterday. It could have been 50 years ago or whatever. Or he's saying that I just divorced her right now. So then it doesn't matter. So he's not pastoring her from anything in the past. So he's just talking about the future, that A, if she's Mizana in the future, or B, if there's a situation of Yibum or Chalitza in the future, or C, that she could remarry. Those things we can believe him because then he has a bigger, because he could have divorced her right now. Tosfos has a question. Tosfos has a question about it. In that we learned back in Gittin that the Chachamim made a takana, you have to write a date in a get, because otherwise, she's going to be Mizana, and he's going to falsely claim that he divorced her before. So isn't it fairly obvious that Lamafreya ain't a Neman? So Tosfos leaves the question open. A few of the Rishonim, including Rabbeinu Gershom and some of the others, explain Lamafreya and Lahabo a little bit differently. They say, if Lamafreya means if his wife, if we first know that his wife was Mizana, not like the Rashbam says that it's a question of when this nus was relative to when they're standing right now, but rather it's what came first, this nus or him saying gerashti. Namely, if first she was Mizana and then he says gerashtia, then we're not going to believe it for the same reason, because machapa, because he's just trying to cover up for her. By the way, actually the Yad Ramah talks about, he says it doesn't even necessarily have to be that otherwise, but not for him, that we don't believe him because he's trying to prevent her from being chayiv mitzvah. What about, let's say, later on at some point later on, the Edom are actually found to be mukhosh or Muslim or whatever. We find that the Edom are possible or what have you. So she's not going to be chayiv mitzvah anyhow. Nevertheless, we still, so the Mafreya not. But Lahabba, where he's saying that I divorced her. Even if it turns out the Edom were Edom's omen or what have you.
You can't do anything.
Right. So you still, though, he's saying that Lamafreya, he's saying after the case was brought to Beis Din that she was Mizana, and he's saying Gerashtia from beforehand, we won't believe him on that. Okay, the Edom, it turns out, are Edom's omen or whatever, therefore she's not going to be Chayiv Mitzvah. We still can't believe him on that, because again, no migri. And again, because Lachatchila, he was trying to do it for Pashtus in order to get her out of it.
There's no migoy, and they will be Chayiv Mitzvah, and you can't save them by him saying that.
Yes. On the other hand, Lahaba would mean the other way around. If he says I divorced her, and later on she's Mizana, yeah, then that's acceptable. Okay. Iboilahu. So now we have a question. What about if he says Lamafreya? Again, so taking it according to the Rashbam, let's say that he's standing in Iyar and saying, I divorced her Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So we said we can't believe him that during Nissan she was divorced, and therefore she's Mizana. During that time she's still Chayiv Mitzvah. Fine, but Ma'olahim Muni Lahabah. However, can we believe him about what will be in the future? Can we say, again, if he had said just Gerashtiha, we said we would believe it. If he says Gerashtiha on a certain date in the past, then we wouldn't believe it. But now, can we say, okay, we can't accept that she was in Megurashis during Nisan, but can we accept at least that she's in Megurashis beginning now in Rosh Chodesh Iyar, from when he makes this declaration, and onward? Me Pauginin Dibora, I like Pauginin Dibora. The basic question is, can we divide up what he's saying? That we'll believe him about the Gerashti, we'll believe him, but about that it was 30 days ago, that it was a month ago, that we won't believe. Do we split up? No, he said it after. No, he said it. So that's the thing. No, so there was a claim brought to Beis Din that she was in the Zana in mid-Nisan. So fine, in the end, the Edom were Edom Zomin or what have you, like the Yad Ramah says, and it turns out, therefore, there's no issue with that. But now that he's saying that, will it still work? When he says that I divorced her a month ago, will that help from now on, such that if she's in the Zana during the year, then that will save him?
Do we throw it out completely?
Do we throw it out completely, or do we throw it out only partially, Pagun and Dibura, and we accept the partially what he says, that I did divorce her? We just ignore the statement that it was 30 days ago.
This is like when if he misleads on one part of the statement.
Not necessarily.
But how can we believe that?
Because the fact of the matter is, he has a migoy on Gerashti, he doesn't have a migoy on 30 days ago, but maybe that's enough reason to believe him. So, Rav Mori and Rav Zvid, Chadam Apagin and Bechadam Alay Pagin. And so Rav Mori and Rav Zvid argue about that. One says we can divide it, and therefore, in other words, we'll say that it is considered she is Megureshes as of Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And the other one says not, and we have to throw out the whole thing. Question is, Maishna Medirava. So the question is, why is that any different than the din that Rava says, which everybody agrees to, and usually the Gemara is not asking Gavra, Gavra Koromis, because this is one of those dinim that everybody accepted. No, we don't find anybody arguing with Rava on it. And he says, Ish Pliny Balishti, if somebody comes to Beis Din and says that Pliny had relations with my wife, Huva Acha Mitzdarfin Lahurgoi, then that person, the husband himself, plus another aide, you need two aidim, of course, can combine together to have him executed. Lahur goy v'loy lahur go. Now that'll only work as far as having the boyal executed, not the wife. Not the wife, because as far as the wife is possible, a husband can't testify on behalf of his wife. So lahur goy v'loy lahur go. So we see that Pagin and Dibora. We see that what we do is we accept the statement that this guy was Mazana with an Ashes Ish. We ignore the part of it that the Ashes Ish is my own wife. We accept that he says that this guy was Mazana with her and therefore is Chayv Mitzvah. We ignore the part that she participated in it and therefore she should be Chayv Mitzvah too.
We ignore it. Cannot testify.
Fine, but that's still Pagin and Dibura. It's still only taking half his age.
Yeah, because he's not allowed to testify.
But that's not
the age.
If you don't do Pagin and Dibura, then So the answer is there's a difference, because the trei gufi pagginin v'chad gufa loy pagginin, because there's a difference. You can divide it when it comes to two different gufim. You have the boil and you have the isha. So we can accept his edus about one of them and ignore his edus about the other one. But whichever one, Rav Mori or Rav Zvid, who says in our case over here about Gerashtias Ishti, that we don't believe him at all, he would say when it comes to one guf, then you can't divide it up. It's an all or nothing thing. Some of the Rishonim explain it a little differently. I think Rav Yonah and some others say that the vort is trei gufi doesn't necessarily mean two physical bodies. It means two different aspects of the eid. Namely, when you get down to it, there's two different aspects over here. One is that there was nus. The other aspect is, with her, was it lerotzen or not? It could have been an oinus. So therefore, we can accept. So therefore, we can pauginan even within her itself to say yes, there was nus, but no, it wasn't lerotzen. And therefore, so that there was nus, the guy is going to be chayav mitzvah, and if the husband is a koyin, she's going to be oster, etc. But that it was oinus, and therefore she's not chayav.
So
you can't prove over here for our case where he says Gerashtias Ishti, right, 30 days ago, that you're going to say that's what Rav Mori or Rav Zvid is saying. Hello? That's what Rav Mori or Rav Zvid is saying, that over here you only have one thing. Is she Megurashis or is she not? It's not only one person, it's one goof, meaning one piece of Aedis.
Right.
as opposed to there were two different pieces of it.
That wouldn't he be chayev if he was chayev?
A man is chayev anyway because ain't tishrei lo da. So, yeah. But a woman.
Oh, that's
but,
a light.
Yeah. Come on. But a woman, it could be a woman, it could be vayna. Yeah. Okay. All right. Another case. Hahuda have a kashafi. It happened once, another one of these cases involving does a person have brothers or sons or whatever or not. So a person was about to die. Umrule, so people said to him, his friends asked him, Itseh Laman, who can your wife marry? In other words, is she going to need yibum? Do you have brothers? Or not children, or is she mutar l'shuk? Can she marry whoever she wants?
Why was she?
He was dying, whatever the reason is. I don't know. His doctor knows the reason. It's not negeh to us. So he says a very interesting thing to them. He says to them, Chazir l'kahan rabba. She is suitable for the kohen gadol. Now, what does that mean? So there is, by the way, there's different gersoys over here that Ashbam takes out the word rabba, apparently, and just has l'kahana, that she's mutar to a kohen. But anyway, I mean, either way, if you say kahana rabba, you have a real problem because she's an amona. Amona is also to a kohen gadol. And if you're going to say, even if you're going to take out the word, rabba, you still have a problem because what's the whole basis that we could say that we believe in is because he has a migri that she's migureshes. Well, if she's migureshes, she's going to be. Never mind that. Actually, if we're talking about why would he be saying that she's mutter? Why would he be saying he divorced her? Why would he be saying that she's mutter if it's known they don't have any children? Because evidently he divorced her. Well, if he divorced her, she's also to a kohen anyway. So there's a number of different approaches that the Rishonim take. Because if he doesn't have any children, the only way she could be mutter is if he's saying that I divorced her. Well, if he divorced her, she's also to any kind. A grusha is also to a kind.
To get
married. When he's saying that she's not required to do yibum or chalitza, remember there could be two reasons why. One is that he has children. The other is that he divorced her. I mean, a third thing could also be he doesn't have any brothers. Because the Rashbam says because why do we believe him? The only reason we can believe him is because of the migri that we said before. Fine, but the migri would make her also to a kohen anyway. It's only but still. Yeah. Okay. So there are some of the Rishonim. The Rashbam says lav dafka doesn't literally mean that she's mutter to a kohen. He's exaggerating. He's saying in other words she's mutter to whoever she wants, subject to the. Yeah, Tosfos says differently. All it means is in other words, yes, she's also to a kohen, but that's sort of a side thing. She's a grusha or a mono or what have you. It doesn't mean from the point of view of the dinim of yibum and chalitza, she's mutter to marry anybody. Then Tosfos brings another girsa that not chazula kahana, but chazula kahuna, that she can go back to her status of kahuna. If she was a bas toyin, she's able to go back to eat truma the bein nasha in her father's house because we don't have any children, and because there's no zika.
Which would
because
be the opposite.
Well,
of the other translation.
Right. But because there's no zika over here. In other words, he's saying there's no. On the one hand, there's no children, but on the other hand, there's no brother. There's no brother either, or I divorced her, as the case may be, and therefore she can go back to eating truma. There are some of the Rishonim who say that maybe what he meant over here was the kiddushin themselves were only al tanai, and the tanai was never niskayim. And as far as relations, this happened while they say that this is talking about while she was still in Arusa. So there's no issue of her not being a Basula, which would make her also to a kind of battle. There's no issue of her ever having been a Scottish because the Kedushan al Tanai and the Tanai never took place. So therefore he can really be saying literally Chazir l'kahan rabba that she is actually able to marry even a kohen gadol.
They're not married yet all the way.
Yeah. The difficulty with that, a couple of the Rishonim that I'm buying and some of the other Rishonim point out with that is that you still have how exactly do you believe him on that? On what basis does what kind of migri does he have for that? The migri we said is lahabah, that he has the ability to divorce her right now or whatever. How does he have the ability to make a statement like that? And we'll take him at his word that there was a kedushin and it was al tanai, etc.
Okay. can check in. Are we taking him at his word?
Apparently, if he says Chaz v'kahana rabbe, it literally means that she's able to marry a kohen gadol.
Maybe he's just saying it, and so.
Okay, I mean, again, according to the Rashbam, he's saying it as a guzma, but still, according to the explanation that it meant that it meant literally. Yeah, but still, of course, not a guzma. He's saying, in other words, never mind Yibum or Chalitza. That's not relevant. Leaving aside those issues, she'd be able to marry anybody. Omar Rava, so Rava says, Omar Rava or Rava, my nechushla, okay, so Rava or Rava says, fine, in that case, then why should we think there is any problem? Why should Taka, there shouldn't be any problem, she should be able to marry anybody she wants, except Karinim, I guess, whatever. Ha'omar Rav Chiya Ba'aba, Omar Rav Yechanan, Baal Shama Girashi Yisishdi Neman. Didn't we have before that Rav Chiya Ba'aba said in the name of Rav Yechanan that if a husband says, I divorced my wife, then he's believed. So therefore, by the same logic, so the Rashbam says, over here, he's making exactly the same claim. By saying, Chazi l'kahana rabba, again, according to the Rashbam's explanation, he doesn't literally mean that she can marry a kohen, but he's saying, I taka divorced her. So never mind whether I've got brothers or not, or whether I've got children or not. I divorced her, therefore there's no yibum chalitza. Well, therefore, that's exactly the same thing as they're saying that if a person says, Gerashti es ishti, we believe him. The other Rishonim rather understand that what he means is, in other words, that he has a migri. Because he's able to say Gerashti es ishti, therefore, by the same logic, he can say, I have children or I have no brothers or whatever. Amalei Abaya, however, Abaya asked him, what do you mean? Okay, so we have one report that Rabbi Yechanan said that. V'ha, but we have another report. We had another report that Rabbi Yechanan said, you don't believe him with that migri. Again, because there's a lack of a koil weakens his migri, whatever. Amalei, it's a rabba, or rabba says, so what's the problem? V'lav milo sheninu, kan l'mafreva, kan l'abba. You saw before we reconciled these two statements of Rabbi Yechanan, one's talking about the Mafreya, one's talking about what about the past, that if she was Mizana in the past or whatever, we can't accept it. The other's talking about Lahaba. Here we're dealing with Lahaba. The question is, can she marry anybody else outside of the husband's brothers or not? So what's the problem? Then we've established that's what Rabbi Yechanan meant. Abaya answers him back. So you want to just rely on a teretz like that? Maybe that's not the correct answer after all. Maybe as a matter of fact, you do actually have a machlokes amidoyim within what Rabbi Yochanan said. Because after all, you have the weakness by the fact that you don't have a koil. So therefore, maybe the one version, maybe Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef's version is talking about absolutely, you don't believe him, not l'mafreya, not l'haba.
Because
you have no koil, and therefore you can't accept that. So Rava says to Rav Nosson Ba'ami, be concerned about it. So what does that mean? The Rabbeinu Gershom actually says it. So the Rabbeinu Gershom actually brings two explanations. One is it means that chushla means that sometimes you find the Gemara uses the word chushu, chayshinin or whatever in a positive sense. Usually chayshinin means in a negative sense. We have to be concerned about the situation. Rabbeinu Gershom's first explanation actually is chushla is, it's fine. You can indeed, chushla, you can indeed accept that the teretz that we gave before to find for the two statements of Rabbi Yechanan is valid, and therefore you can allow her to freely remarry. However, his second explanation, and this is also the Rashbam's explanation, and so it is according to most of the other Rishonim, is chushla means you do taka have to be concerned. Abaya has a point. You don't know whether Rabbi Yochanan meant that in some cases we believe in la'ba, but for other purposes, la'mafreya, we don't, or whether you actually have a machlokes amidoyim within what Rabbi Yochanan says. Therefore, be concerned about it, and therefore she's going to taka be also, she's going to be also to everybody else without chalitza, assuming that he has brothers, obviously. And that's how it's brought. And that's how it's brought. Halacha, that we consider her suffic megurashes. So she needs chalitza, not yibum, and then she can marry whoever she wants. Another case.
We don't give her a second guess.
Well, the guy's dead. The husband's dead. I mean, if he's still alive, sure, we could give her another guess. But yeah. Okay. Another case. Hahuda have a muchzik one de les le'achi. There was another case where a person had a chazaka that he had no brothers. So unlike the previous case where he had brothers and we didn't know whether he had children or not, here there was a chazaka that he didn't have brothers. But Amar b'shas misa de les le'achi. And then, sure enough, before he died, he confirmed he has no brothers. Okay, so Rabbi Yosef says, obviously, there's nothing to be concerned about. Number one, we have the previous chazaka that he has no brothers. And furthermore, he confirmed himself before he died that he doesn't have any, that he doesn't have any brothers. So it's true he doesn't have any sons. Maybe, Taka, you should have to be concerned that after all, there are some brothers he doesn't know about or whatever. But there's... Because he doesn't have any children, so therefore you never know. If he has some brother out there, then after all she would be a Yuvama.
What's the connection between children with brothers?
How does it work with Yibum? Remember, if a person left children, then his wife doesn't need Chalitza or Yibum.
Just
the fact that he left descendants of any kind. As long as they're descendants, as long as he has descendants that are not from a Goita or a Shifcha, then his wife is not Chayiv in Yibum or Chalitza. Even if they're descendants from another wife, you remember, we learned all about this in Yuvama.
Yeah.
And the flip side of it is, if he has no children but he has brothers, then his wife is going to need to do Yibum or Chalitza with one of them. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef is saying there shouldn't be a problem over here. We have a previous chazaka that he had no brothers, so it's true that we also know for sure that he doesn't have any children, and therefore, if he has no children and he has brothers, she would be chayav in Yibum or Chalitza, but because we have that previous chazaka, and he himself is confirming that Itaka has no brothers, and he has that same migri that he could have given her a get. So therefore it should be good. But Abaya says to him, Ha Amri, but isn't it true that people in this town are saying, people in town are saying that there are Edim in Medina Sayyam, there are Edim overseas, the Yadid Islayachi, who know that he has brothers. People say that there are Edim in Medinat Hayam who know that he has brothers. In other words, if those Edim, shouldn't we have to wait? How can she be allowed to marry just on the spot like that? Shouldn't we have to wait until we summon those Edim and hear what they have to say?
So that's a new part of the case, really.
Okay.
What Abai is bringing.
Okay, but nevertheless, the point is, we had a chazaka. We never knew for sure, but we had a chazaka that he has no brothers. There's this rumor in the city that there are Edim or whatever, but it never rose to the level of a chazaka.
Then obviously, we have to.
But that's the question. So do we have to be concerned about that? Do we have to wait till they show up? Tosfos brings other girsos, which some other Rishonim also deal with. Is the girsa maybe that there are Edim in Medinat Hayam? Tosfos says, no, that's not what it means. Because if we know that there are Edim in Medinat Hayam, sure, we got to wait on them. Okay.
It's just a rumor.
So Rabbi Yosef answers him, Hashtami Apolasnu, come on. Fine, but right now the Edim are not here. Ein L'dayin Ela Masha Ein Avroyis, like we said the other day. So we only have to go after what we see now. Lav Heinud Rav Chanina, because after all, Rabbi Yosef continues, isn't this exactly the same case as the one that Rav Chanina dealt with? We learned in Ksuvus, when we dealt with the whole concept of a shvuya, we talked about over there that the woman was captured by Goyim, and from then on she's also to be married to a Goyim, because the Goyim may have raped her. We had a case over there that Shmuel's own daughters were taken captive and then brought to Eretz Yisrael. So what happens is they were smart, they were after all the daughters of Shmuel, they knew their way around the halacha. They knew that there's a concept called a pesha after a pesha hitir, that if the only way we know she's a shvuya is by her own words, and she says, Tahurani, she says, Nishbesi or Tahurani, then we can believe her because she has a pesha after a pesha hitir. The only way that we know she's also is from she herself saying she's a shvuya, and she herself is saying she's tahur. So what they did is they asked the captors to stay outside the Bismedush. They went in, presented themselves in front of Rav Chanina and said, Nishbeinu, Nishbeinu, Tahur, Sanu. And Rav Chanina says, sure enough, yes, they're allowed to marry Kohenim. So the Gemara asks one of the other Amoroyim asks there, aren't there Edim? What if there were actual Edim contradicting them, saying that they actually were Tomei, that they actually were raped? How can you allow them to marry a Kohen until we wait for those Edim to come? And Rav Chanina answers, going back to the Gemara now, Edim b'tzad Esther b'tayasir. What are you telling me? The Edim are someplace way up in the north, and you're going to after her on that basis? When the Edim come, we'll deal with it. But right now, they're right. Doesn't matter. Well, that's what we're saying. Rav Chanina is saying we don't have to worry about it. If those Edim show up, then fine, they show up. Right now, Ein L'dayin Ela Masha Ein Avroyis. Right now, we have a Pesha Asa, a Pesha Hitzer on them, and therefore, that's all we need. So therefore, by the same logic, Rabbi Yosef says, yes, maybe there were Edim someplace in another country or whatever who say that this guy has brothers. Fine, when those Edim come, then they come. Then we'll hear their ages and see if it's genuine or not. Meanwhile, we shouldn't have to worry about it. Amalei Abaye, but Abaye said, what? Yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to leave her stuck until they come? Never, a coil, okay, but a coil doesn't go anything against those unless you have something to back up the coil. However, Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to him, after all, though, there should be a difference. He may count them a shvuya. You're going to say that we're makel when it comes to a shvuya. The part over here in parenthesis, the Rashbam is in Gerdes. Mishum de menablo napshal agabe shavoi. We can be makel when it comes to a shvuya. So the Rashbam who takes that out says there's a few reasons to be makel on it. Number one, usually she tries to prevent herself from getting raped. That's the part of it here in parenthesis, actually, which is a side thing. Mishum de menablo napshal agabe shavoi. She'll make herself as unattractive as possible, so the guy won't have anything to do with her. But besides that, also the Rashbam points out another point anyway, which is that relative when you have the issue of a shvuya to a kohen, even if she was actually raped, it's only an issue lav. And the whole concept of a shvuya being also to a kohen is only the rabbanon anyway. So you want to be makel on that? Fine.
Not
shvuya is also to a kohen midrabbanon. Midaraita, unless we know for sure. If she was nana, if she was raped, then yes, she's also midaraita to a kohen. But the whole concept that we're worried about the suffix, that we're worried about the suffix, that's only midrabbanon.
Do we know that?
What do you mean? How do we know? We learned about it.
How do we know that we learned a pasuk that she's not
the
Torah doesn't forbid her?
We don't have, again, usually, first of all, keep in mind, she had a chazakah of being mutter to a kohen before that. You need something more than a sofer to take away that chazakah. Second of all, you also have, on top of that, the fact that she's meshamer atma, that she tries her best to protect herself, and therefore, so on all those grounds, midaraisa, there shouldn't be any reason to worry. The possibility that she was is a mute, and we're not worried about a mute. But it's only a drabana. So therefore, sure, we can be makel by that. Nokel by Eishas Ish. Are you going to say, you're going to say that we should be makel by an Eishas Ish? We're after all, now, she's not an Eishas Ish right now, her husband's dead. What we mean by an Eishas Ish, the Rashbam says, in other words, because up till now, the difference is, unlike by a Shvuya, she had a Chezkas Isser until now. She had a Chazaka being also because she was married. And then she was a real Eishas Ish. So now, to take away that chazaka, fine, okay, the fact that she's not an Eishes Ish anymore, okay, fine, her husband's dead. But still, to take away the chazaka, that therefore she should be able to marry anybody she wants without Yibum or Chalitza, that chazaka still stands. Even though the husband passed away. Because, like this, before her husband passed away, she's also to everybody in the world. After he passes away, if we have any reason to be concerned that Yibum or Chalitza is needed, she's also to everybody except for the Yavam. So therefore, that chazaka still stands. It is only a lab, it's true, but still, that's the point that the Rashbam makes, and the Hagar Tabach expands on it a little bit. She's not, it's not literally, the Rashbam uses the expression Isur Chenek, meaning it's not an actual case of Chenek. The Isser that before had to do with Chenek, that Isser to everybody else still exists. Just now it was downgraded for Chenek to a lav, but it still exists until we have evidence that it's gone. So you can't say it's the same as Eishes Ish, where Fakir, she had a Cheskes Kashrus before. And again, Amalei Rav Nosson Ba'ami Chushla. And again, Rava says to Rav Nosson Ba'ami, okay, you have to be concerned about it. Abaya has a point. It's not necessarily the same as the case of the Shavuya. And therefore, you do have to be concerned about it. And therefore, she'll need Chalitza. She'll need Chalitza from whoever these Edim, claim is the brother before she'll be able to marry.
Can you have long distance Chalitza?
No, Chalitza has to be done in person. She has to actually take off the shoe.
In
general, you can't use a shliach for mitzvahs that have to be done by Google. Same reason you can't make a shliach. Yeah, to put on tefillin for you.
Right, you could give a shliach from the kaddish. So
because kedushin doesn't necessarily have to be biyada. It's a kinyan. So okay. All right.
So you were on to something. That's probably not how much money we make.
All right. The Mishnah said ze ochi einan nem. The Mishnah had told us a case like this. You had, let's say, two brothers. Then one of them comes and says, "This is we have Reuben and Shimon." Reuben comes along one day and presents a Levi and says, "This is our brother as well." And Shimon denies it, or we'll see in the Gemara exactly what Shimon has to say about it. So we said we don't believe him, and therefore Levi just gets a share within Reuben's portion. But then we said, this is the key part that we're going to be talking about in the Gemara, we said that if Levi dies, Yachzur Nechatim L'Mekaymar, then we return the Nechatim that he got from Reuben as his portion, those go back to Reuben. And actually the key point is going to be rather the last words of the Mishnah, which is the Mishnah had said, what if Levi now got Nechatim from someplace else, someplace outside of the original estate? Then we said, Yerushu Echavimai, all the brothers inherit with him. So now the question becomes why? The Idach Maika Amri. What are the other brothers saying? When Reuben comes first and says, this Levi is our brother, what are the other brothers saying to that? Ika Amri Achunahu. If they agree, yes, he's our brother, Amai Yisalem B'chalka, but you're right. Then why should he only get out of Reuben's portion? Shimon should also have to give part of his portion to this Levi. Ela Ika Amri Lavachinahu. Okay, so you have to say the case is talking about where Shimon denies it. This isn't our brother. However, Ema Seifa, but that, what does the next part of the Mishnah say? We say if he gets Nechasim from someplace else, from outside of the estate, then his brothers, all of them, inherit it with him. Why? They said he's not our brother. Now it is true that Reuben said he's our brother. But and therefore you could argue but no, not really, because the fact is, since Shimon is denying that he's our brother, therefore, that's his own Hajar Baldin, saying that therefore we have no share in his Yerusha. So how now is Shimon turning around and saying, you know what, I am entitled to a share of his Yerusha after all? The answer is, yes, but the Mishnah has to be talking about a case where they say we don't know. So when it comes to giving him a part of the inheritance, fine. Shimon is saying, I don't know. So therefore, as the Gemara is going to say on Amud Bey, the Gemara is going to say on Amud Bey, actually, although we haven't gotten to that yet, that Levi himself doesn't know whether he's their brother or not. The only one who says he is Reuben. So, but at this point, we don't know that yet. I'm jumping the gun a little bit. For our purposes, what's important is that Shimon says, I don't know whether you're my brother or not. So you want to get a portion of my nechasim. Fine, bring proof that you're a brother, then you'll get a portion. When it comes to yarshin him, then they can yarshin, because after all, Reuben is saying that he was their brother. Amar Rava, the other brothers, in other words, you have one brother. Okay, you know what? I said it was only the three brothers. I mean, you could expand it. You know, we're talking five brothers. You know, you have Reuben, Shimon, Yehuda, and Yisachar. And Levi comes in. Reuben says, this is our brother. Shimon, Yehuda, and Yisachar say, we don't know. So therefore, that's what we're saying. So when it comes to each of them giving him a portion of the Yerusha, they can all say, we're not obligated to believe that he's our brother. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. So therefore, Reuben, you're the one who says, you can give him a portion. That's exactly what they're saying. You want to bring a raya that you're entitled to take it from him, because they're yarshining on the basis of that Reuven said that he's their brother.
But they will bring a raya. Which Mukhabir will take from Levi?
No, but Reuven himself. Levi is dead. No, but Reuven himself is murder. Hajas Bad and Tamei Edom. What?
Or the other brother.
The other brother is fine. They said we don't know. What? Because Reuben is admitting that he was our brother.
That's the brother.
What? Yeah. The rest of the brothers said, we don't know. We don't know whether this Levi who now died was our brother. So they say, that's what we're saying. Because Reuben is...
Yeah, but there's no one else.
Levi's dead now. Levi's dead. He didn't leave. Levi died. He doesn't have anybody else to yarshin him. His brothers are going to yarshin him. Reuben is saying, this is our brother. Therefore, Reuben himself is being moida. Therefore, that doesn't all go to me.
It's like it's kept there.
Amar Rava. So Rava says, Zoyse Meres. In that case, we can learn from this Mishnah. That is in a case, if one person says to the other, you owe me a mona, and the other person says, I don't know whether I owe it to you or not. Potter. Evidently, he'd be potter from paying. Now, this is actually machloikas amaroyim in a few places in Shas. We learned it at the end of Bava Kama. We learned it at a couple of places in Bava Matzia. that you have Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda saying he's chayev to pay, and Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan are saying he's potter. Now, the halacha is taka that he's potter, because the halacha is like Rav Yochanan and the halacha is like Rav Nachman. So he has to swear Shavuot Hesus, the Rashbam adds, but nevertheless, so what do you have over here? You have Reuven arguing that my brother Levi has mamon which Mesafik you're supposed to be giving him. They're saying Einoni Yodea, and we're saying they're potter from giving it to him because they're potter from giving it to him because I'm with Machavel Abadai. The problem with that is, in that case, you can prove that machloikas from our Mishnah. How are Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda saying the opposite?
They also Negei B'Davar.
Negei B'Davar is who's Negei B'Davar? They're saying Einoni Yodea. Obviously,
yeah,
when you
of course.
When you
they would say that.
No, not obviously. They could admit.
Very similar case.
Yeah.
I see now.
Speaking, by the way, of Negei B'Davar, I forgot to mention something in the case where we had before about Ploni Baal Ishti, the Maharit. Ask the question, how is he able to give edus on this anyway? Isn't it in a gay b'davar? Obviously, he has it
right.
In for this guy for being mezana with his wife. The Maharit says an interesting idea, which is you're not considered in a gay b'davar unless you have a financial stake in the matter.
Wow.
The fact that you have.
What?
No. He can't be made on his wife, we said before, because of Ishtek the girlfriend. He can't be made on your close relative. But to be able to be made on somebody else, that he was Mizana with her, to have him executed, we don't say the husband is Negei B'Dava, that he's doing it because he hates the other guy or whatever. We say Negei B'Dava, Maharit says, is only applies when it's a financial stake, not when it's anything else. Okay, anyway, returning to our Gemara over here. Yeah, of course the other guy is Negei, of course the other older brothers are Negei B'Dava, but that's how it is any time. If I come to you and say, you owe me money, obviously you're Negei B'Dava to say that not, but we still...
I'll leave you up, so you owe me.
Okay.
Right. I owe you in any case.
Okay, no. Anyway, the point is, Rav is saying, you can prove the answer to this Machlokas from our Mishnah, so how is there a Machlokas thing? Abaya Omar, so Abaya says, no. Because we just said, in our Mishnah, we said that when Reuven says that Levi is our brother, and Shimon and Yehuda and Yisachar deny it, and, or not even deny it, they said, any Yedea, we don't make them give up part of their portion to give to Levi. So we see that even though Reuven is saying, Mona Levi Yadcha, and they're saying, any Yedea, we say they're proper. Abaya Omar, Abaya says it's not really the same thing. You could say that usually you would be chayev, like Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda saying, okay, the halacha is not like that, but they at least could argue like that, because when you have bori versus shema, bori is odif. So if one says mona li biyarcha and the other one says any yedeh, he could be chayev. The shiny hacha, the shiny.
Reuven is bori.
No, meaning in a regular case where you just have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven says you owe me a mona. Shimon says I don't know whether I do or not. Then Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda can be saying he's chayev because Reuven has a bori claim and Shimon only has a shema. The shiny hacha, but it's different in our case with the brothers, the kimono l'achel b'yad chadami, because here the claim amounts to somebody else, you owe somebody else a money. In other words, you have a suffix versus a suffix, because Levi himself is a suffix. Levi himself, when he was alive, didn't know for sure that he's their brother. The only one who's saying that he is Reuven. So therefore, so now Levi never had a kindest body in the first place, and therefore, when he's dead, then while he's alive, rather, therefore, the other brothers aren't obligated to give him anything because he himself only has a suffix claim.
And that changes when he dies.
When he dies, then we said because Reuven himself is admitting that he was our brother, and therefore we're all entitled equally to inherit him. Then therefore that's it. So Reuven himself is saying a tainus bori that I owe you all money. They're saying a tainus shema. Maybe you don't, but okay, his hajah is enough.
What does
Levi
say?
Levi was a suffix. He didn't. Yeah, the Rashbam says that the Rashbam says that suffix asma any day of any yochel lutin tainus vada. That Levi himself didn't know. Yeah.
If Levi didn't know, and Levi passed away, and now we're saying Reuven doesn't have that suffix.
Fine, but therefore. Okay, Reuven himself has some way of knowing. Reuven is the eldest in the family, let's say. He knows what the whole family history was. He knows where their father has been or whatever, and the rest of the brothers don't know.
We would say the same for Mamzer.
Yeah, Mamzer is Yiddish, just as much as
no,
a little.
We would say the same. I'm
not seeing the difference. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, Mes Yachsu Nechasim. Then we said that if this brother Levi dies, Then the nechasim go back to where they were, meaning again, the part that Reuven gave him goes back to Reuven, and those we're going to be dealing with the next part, which is that we said that if he gets nechasim from someplace else and his brothers yashin with him, in fact, I go, it's a bach. You can see over here, chain on the side, you can see changes, the girsa in the Gemara over here, the Gemara is actually quoting that part of the Mishnah. Nafu v'nechasim makam acher, yushu achabim. So, boy Rav, Rav asks on this, shvach sheshodchu nechasim me'aleihem ma'am. What about if you have, so he received a part of the original Yerusha that Reuven gave him, because Reuven said that he's his brother. Now what happens, any improvement, in any increase in value of that came in it by itself, mahu, then what would be the din? Do the other brothers divide that equally, or does that just go back to Reuven? If it's talking about shvach that reaches the shoulders, then you don't have a question. Now, what does it mean, reaches the shoulders? You have this expression in a number of places in Shas. The Rashbam explains that it means that this is the Suffolk, Levi over here, put work into it. He received an empty field, he plowed, he planted, etc. So now when he dies, then it's got a crop in it. So therefore, then there's no question that dekinafel and nechasim makom achadam. Then there's no question that it can be considered nechasim that came from somebody else, from somewhere else, because it did. It came from somewhere else. Came from his own work. Most of the other rishonim have a different understanding of shvach hamagil k'sipayim, that it means crops that are ready to be harvested. Not really a question of whether he put work into it or not, but that if it's crops that are ready to be harvested, then definitely it's considered mimakam achar. Then it's definitely not considered part of the original nechasim because it's ready to be harvested. It can't really be considered part of the field anymore.
It's ready to be harvested because. Some work was added?
No, that's according to the Rashbam. The key thing is that the key question is whether work was put into it or not. According to everybody else, that shvach hamagilah sifayim, meaning that's ready to be harvested, in other words, as opposed to before that, before at an earlier stage, even though he put work into it, it's still not considered shvach hamagilah sifayim. It's not a question whether he put work into it or not. It's a question, can it be considered something separate from the character? The question rather would be, when it's shvach that's not magil k'sifayim, according to the Rashbam, something that he didn't put in work, and according to everybody else, where he did, maybe he did put in work, but it's not ready to be harvested. For example, a palm tree which became thicker now, or land that got sediment on it, where now it's more fertile land, mai, what's the din? And many of the other Rishonim don't have the gears over here, because again, they understand shvach magil She'enim agil k'sifayim has nothing to do with a tree becoming thicker or not. It does have to do with actual crops, but it's crops that are not yet ready to be harvested, and therefore, arguably, they're still part of the katla. And the answer is teku. Unlike most tekus in the Gemara, here actually we have an actual din that's paskin and shulchan aruch on it, which is that Reuven is going to be entitled to it, to get it back. It's not going to go to all the other brothers because it's teku, hamotzi mechaver l'varaya. If the other brothers want any of it, they're going to have to bring a proof. The din is they should be able to, and they can't, and therefore the practical thing is it goes back to them.
So Mashiach
comes? I guess so, yeah.
Okay. So if Mashiach comes, he doesn't get it.
Okay. Next Mishnah says, Misha mes v'nimtzis diatiki kshura al yerecha. If somebody died, and then after he died, you find a diatiki, which is a diatiki is a shtar tzavot shchiv mirah, a shtar in which the shchiv mirah wrote out his final instructions. We'll learn in the Gemara why it's called that. Tarezo ain't a klum, it doesn't count for any. So it was tied al yerecha. It was tied on his hip. Which therefore you would think. I mean, there's no reason to think that there was anything forged over here. There's no way anybody could have forged. Mela, in other words, if you just found it in his desk drawer, somebody could easily have forged it. But even if you find it tied to his waist, obviously he himself must have written it. Nevertheless, it still doesn't count for anything. Why is that? There's a couple of different reasons. The Rashbam says the reason is because It is true that we say divrei shchiv mirah k'ksuvim b'chimasurin. It is true that we say, and we'll learn later in the Masechta, the reason why is that the Chachamim made a takana that whatever a shchiv mirah says should be valid. But the reason why the Chachamim did that is Shalaita Tarif Daita Olav. The reason the Chachamim did that is they wanted him to be able to die with a clear mind, that he doesn't have to worry, are my instructions going to be fulfilled or not? But that only works when he does it verbally. If he writes it in a shtar, then the Rashbam says, obviously he did not intend to take advantage of that din of Matnas Shtigmarah. He intended to have it done as a regular shtar. Okay, in shtar la'achamisa. A shtar can't be in effect after he's dead. The other guy only receives it after he's dead, therefore nothing doing.
It's because there's no shtar
la'achamisa. Because there's no shtar la'achamisa, and he didn't give it to anybody while he's alive. The other reason that a number of the Rishonim bring is he may have changed his mind. Sure, he wrote it, he strapped it to his thigh, etc. But then he changed his mind and decided not to go through it. Yes, what?
The words.
Yeah, the words that he said. Because the Chacham made that takana, so they sort of died to all of. But they never made that takana to apply to a shtar. So you don't want him to be upset that he says something and he's not sure whether it's going to be carried out or not.
With a shtar, he's obviously not,
according to the Rashbam, he's obviously not trying to take advantage of that. He's obviously trying to do it as a regular shtar. A regular shtar, the din is, that to be done while he's alive. If it's only given la'achamisa, then no good.
And there's no advantage to him by it because it's making him feel better when he's listening to his word. This is not making him feel better because he's dead already.
Yeah, okay.
What happens if he puts in the shtar that he's a shtar?
Doesn't matter.
Same thing.
Right. Zika bala acher, however, if he was mezaka in it to somebody else, bein min ha-yoshin, bein she'en min ha-yoshin, whether that other person is one of the yoshim or not, dvar of kayam, and then what he said is valid. Now, what do we mean zika ba? Here also we have a couple of explanations. The Rashbam says it means, let's say he wrote out the shtar saying that all my nechasim should go to Reuven. Later on, he goes, before he actually dies, he takes the shtar, gives it to Shimon, and says, I want you to be zoche in everything that's in that shtar. Well, then we say that's tavas tiv. That he said something verbally. Therefore that shtar can be in effect not to Reuven, but rather to Shimon. A bunch of the other Rishonim again understand that the zikaba means that he was mezaka, that he took the shtar and gave it to another person. I want you to be zoche in it on behalf of the person for whom it was written. So it's written that Reuven should get it. He gives it to Shimon and says, I want you to pick it up. And with that, you're going to be Zoycha in it on behalf of Reuven. And that you can do because Zochem Lodim Shalei B'Fonav. So you can be Mezakah to Reuven while even though Reuven's not there. And then there's a third explanation that the Rashba and the Ritva say that it means that he's Mezakah it, in other words, he gives it to somebody else to publicize that this is he wants to make it known this is a valid shtar. Well, therefore, then that. So because in other words, in the first case, we say it's a heredes anikulum because maybe he changed his mind. But like this, by giving it to somebody else and explicitly saying, "I want you to hold on to this," obviously he's demonstrating that he means to stick to it. Turn it up on us. Ezuhi diatiki. What is the definition of a diatiki? What is this matnas shchivmera? Kol shekasabu dot tehei lamekam b'liyos. If it says in it, or even if it doesn't say explicitly, but if the implication of it is this should be that it should be established and that it should be. That's the word diatiki in and of itself is actually a Greek word meaning a will. But the Chachamim are darshaning it as an acronym for these words, dot tehei lemeikam v'liyos. There's another explanation, by the way, that some of the Rishonim have, which is that what it means is the person is writing in the shtar, I hope to recover from this illness. This shall be that I expect to recover and get up and to live following this illness. I don't expect to die, but in case I do, here are the details.
What is the long, like the word apotheki?
Yeah, apotheki is another Greek word that they dash in. Yeah, there's a bunch of things. You don't have every single word. You don't have every single letter, but you have the gist of it, yeah. The Ezuhi Matana, what's the definition on the other hand of a Matana? Kol Shekasev V'Hayom L'Acha Misa. If it says that it takes effect as of today and L'Acha Misa, meaning in other words, the goof you have as of today and the payrus you'll have Acha Misa. The question is, Elam Hayom L'Acha Misa V'Havi Matana Me'Akshel Havi Matana. So what are you telling me? Only if you write Hayom L'Acha Misa it works, but if you write that I'm giving it to you outright Me'Akshel, that the full thing takes effect now, that's not considered a Matana, that's even a better Matana. Abaya says, you're right. What the Braita means to say, Ezehi matnas bari shehig matnas shchimera, what is the kind of matnas bari which will act like a matnas chivra in the sense that like koni ela la'achamisa, in the sense that the other person is only going to be koni la'achamisa, koshakosa b'mayim la'achamisa, because he wrote it in ma'achshav, then it'll be as of now. There is still going to be a difference because a matnas bori he can't retract on it. A matnas chivra, if he recovers, or even if he doesn't recover, he can. So it's not going to be completely. It's not going to be completely the same, but at least as far as when it's actually chal, that's how you make a manas bori like a manas shimra by writing mahayom alachem. Gemara says Yosef Rava Bar Rav Huna b'achsadra debei Rav. One time, Rava Bar Rav Huna was sitting in the achsadra in the hallway and in the entranceway of the yeshiva. The Yosef v'kamam m'shmei de Rav Yechanan. He was sitting and saying the following din in the name of Rav Yechanan. If a shchiv merah says, "I want you to write a star and I want you to write a star and give a mona of my nechotim to Pliny," and then the shchiv merah died before they actually wrote the star, in kosmin renosin, and they can't write the star and they can't give the star or the mona. Shemala gomalak noisa el b'shtar, because maybe the shchiv merah only intended to be makne to him with the star. The ain't shtar la'achamisa, like we said in the Mishnah, the shtar doesn't take effect.
Would it take effect?
If you said it verbally, yeah, it would take effect. Omer l'gur, Rav Elazar is the haruva. So Rav Elazar says to the other chachamim, be careful with this. Yes, this is the halacha, be careful to pass in that way.
Meaning what?
Meaning it was be aware, that's taka the halacha. Even though he said kisvu, it's no mona l'pointi. Don't think that it means that you can write it anytime you want. Don't think it's considered a matna shchiv merah, and therefore it takes effect regardless. No. You can't write the shtar la'achamisa. No, if he only said it verbally, if he never said kisvu tenu, then it would work. But because he said kisvu tenu, then it doesn't. Then it doesn't work. Then it's invalid. Yeah. Rav Shizvi Omar. Rav Shizvi says it was the other way around. Rav Elazar Amra. On the contrary, it wasn't that Rav Huna is saying that Rav Yochanan said this din, and Rav Elazar is the one who said be careful about it. It's the other way around. Amar Rav Shizvi Amar, Rav Elazar Amra, v'Amar Lahu Rav Yechanan is the Harabah. It's the other way around. Rav Elazar was the one who said this din, and Rav Yechanan is the one who said, be careful that you have to follow this. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak said that Rav Shizvi is the Harabah. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, yeah, it's logical to accept Rav Shizvi's version of the story. Iyamet the Shlemer Rav Elazar Amra, because if you say that, yes, Rav Elazar is the one, and Rav Elazar is the Talmud of Rav Yechanan, yeah, it's Rav Yechanan, Lassudi, Alei de Rav Elazar, then yeah, you need Rav Yechanan to certify that what his Talmud, Rav Elazar, said is correct, and that you have to follow it, la'alof. Eli Yamet Rav Yechanan Amra, but if you're going to tell me that Rav Yechanan is the one who says it, it's Rav Elazar, Lassudi, Alei de Rav Yechanan, Rabbe. Why does Rav Elazar need to certify what his Rebbe says? I mean, obviously, if Rav Yechanan says something, that's it. Rav Elazar doesn't need to tell everybody, make sure to follow it. So we'll continue with it tomorrow. Beis Hashem, we'll talk about more about this topic and more about other related topics involving the SAT.
We left off
with a statement that Rav Shizvi's version of it must be correct. And tomorrow we're going to bring another proof that Rav Elazar is the one who said this din originally, not Rav Yechanan, and Rav Yechanan is the one who's saying, be careful to follow it. Rav Elazar is the one who said the din originally. The Gemara is going to bring a proof tomorrow that that's the case. That was Rav Elazar who actually said this din.